The title for our sermon today, and I'm going to ask you to follow along as we begin in Isaiah chapter 42, which was our Old Testament reading. The title of the sermon is the first couple of words, the first clause really, of Isaiah 42, which reads, "Behold my servant." And so let's read through verse 1. Isaiah 42. "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth justice to the nations." Father God in heaven, we thank you for this scripture verse, and especially even this opening clause. We ask that you would help us to examine it in its fullness. We ask that you would help us to heed it. We ask that you would help us to respond to it. We ask that you would help us to echo it. Even that we would be your ambassadors. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Behold my servant. Although it has been really several years now, in the most recent full-length motion picture about the life of Martin Luther, and by the way, this is 2017, this will be the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. But during that last full-length motion picture about the life of Martin Luther, there's a scene, and actually, there's a couple of them, and it's a beautiful and a precious scene. It's a scene where a most important mentor in his life comes alongside of Martin and says to Martin, and it's really more of just saying something. It's an encouragement. It's a challenging, but it's also a comforting charge to him. And this mentor comes alongside of Martin, and he says to Martin, he says, "Look to Christ." Actually, that charge, this real remedy for the predicament that Martin was in, is repeated. And it's repeated by the same mentor. And it applies to more than just one particular episode in Martin's life. At those most critical junctures of his life, Martin is exhorted, "Look to Christ." Most notably, we see this scene, we see this conversation. We see it, first of all, in the context of Martin needing real comfort and real assurance about his standing before God, about his very salvation. He's being tormented with doubts from the devil, accusations from the devil. And so he receives comfort and assurance. Look to Christ. And then later on, also for a time when he needed confidence and he needed peace and he needed boldness, because he was going to have to stand before not the devil in the spirit, but the devils that are men who were accusing him, as he stood in that ecclesiastical court and had to defend his position against his human detractors and his human accusers. And just prior to going into that, where he would need a preserving faith, he heard those words, "Look to Christ." Look to Christ is not just good advice. It's life-saving. And it's life-sustaining. Our sermon text opens with a similar, I dare say, identical expression. "Behold my servant." Of course, here, the mentor is God, and God is the one who's speaking. And he's speaking to us. And here in Isaiah 42 and 1, where God is saying, "Behold my servant," God is being our mentor. Reminding us as Luther's to look to Christ. As we explore this look to Christ or behold my servant, let us first notice this, that this is an exhortation concerning Him, meaning Jesus Christ. It is not an exhortation concerning anything particular about Him. It's not an invitation to study His attributes, study His characteristics, or anything like that. Of course, there's a place for that sort of thing. Studying His attributes and His characteristics. There's a place for studying that and looking to that and beholding that and pondering that and meditating upon all of that. But His characteristics and His attributes are not what we are here being addressed with. They're not the focal point of our attention here in Isaiah 42:1. The charge here, the exhortation, behold my servant. This idea, behold, is pay attention. Don't miss this. Be on notice. This is really important. Are all about Him. It's not pay attention to this or that about Him. We see that other sort of stuff about Him in other places in the Scripture that are similar, and yet the emphasis is a little bit different. If we were to turn to Isaiah 52 and verse 13, we would see an example of this. Behold, there's a comma there. Behold, that means pay attention, wake up, smell the roses. This is important. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. It automatically goes immediately right into attributes and characteristics about Him. And so the behold is pay attention. This is important. And let me tell you about Jesus. As we see there, there's a behold, there's a comma. Pay attention. Take notice of these matters. Take notice of these attributes. But here, back in Isaiah 42 and verse 1, it simply is, behold my servant. All one clause, all a unity. All a singular entity. No comma after the behold. By the way, the comma is after my servant. So it's not about Him. It's to behold Him. Look to Christ. Isaiah here sounds a lot like John the Baptist. If you remember John in chapter 1 and verse 29, John the Baptist comes on the scene. The next day, John sees Jesus coming up to him and he says, behold the Lamb of God. It's not behold, comma. And now I'm going to tell you the detail. It's look to Him. Yeah, there's going to be a whole bunch of details that are really important. The fact that He is the one who takes away the sin of the world, that's great. That's fantastic. That becomes, you know, incredibly, enormously important. But the initial focus point is to behold the Lamb of God, a singular entity, a unity in and of itself. Even as those particulars unfold as very, very important, the emphasis is look. Look, the same thing happens in verse 36 of the same chapter. And looking upon Jesus as He walked, He said, behold the Lamb of God. See, we're Americans, and we are used to this idea of pay attention, I got a bunch of details here. Pay attention, comma, you need to know these facts. What's happening here in this gospel lesson is pay attention to Him. The facts will become important, no doubt. We're not going to minimize any of those, but pay attention to him. And so here in John 1 and 36, you know, this is looking on steroids. Look to Christ. This look and live theme is common, and it is pronounced in the Bible. In our school, in our secondary school this week, we kind of explored this very same thing. If we look at John chapter 3 and verse 14, Jesus is on the scene here, and he points to an older episode where the children of Israel also were to look upon something. And he writes this in John chapter 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus is here pointing to that older look and live episode. And what was that all about? That takes us all the way back to Numbers in chapter 21. And as we walk through this passage here, if we look at just verse 4 and 5, the people of Israel, they were well on their way here. And, but they're discouraged at this point. God had rescued them, and they're walking through their Christian life, so to speak, if we can use that analogy. But they've come to a place in their life where they're discouraged because of the way. Maybe it's just old age. You know, this week, as I was ministering with my dad, I thought of the many references in the Bible where it says, you know what, so-and-so was stricken in years, or well stricken in years. The idea that old age itself is an affliction. And here the Israelites are going on in their Christian life, and they're discouraged because of the way. Whatever the way represented, maybe it was an illness, maybe it was a problem, maybe it was this, that, or the other thing. And maybe that's true in our lives too, that you're discouraged along the way. And they not only were discouraged and weary here, they began to really become bitter. And the people spoke against God. And they spoke against Moses, the leadership. Why in the world have you brought us up out of the Egypt so that we die here in this wilderness? There's no bread here, no water. Our soul, King James pretties it up a little bit with the word loathe. The word loathe means, I hate this stuff. This manna, this so-called new life, this a land that flows with milk and honey, and all I get is manna. And so they're weary, they're discouraged, they're embittered. And in verses 7 and 8, there's this idea that, you know what? If you're going to be bitter, you're going to get bit. And this is a truism in all of life. If you're going to be bitter, you're going to get bit. And you know what? The biting is going to be fatal. These folks are going to die from it. And then the passage follows up in verses 8 and 9, and we see that God brings a remedy. And the remedy is this: look and live. The Lord said unto Moses, make a fiery serpent, set it up upon on a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone who is bitten, okay, they were bitter, they were complaining, and they're bit, they're going to die. When he looks upon it, they're going to be alive. So Moses obeys, he puts the serpent up on the brass pole here, and it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any of them, whereas they would have died, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. In John 3 and verse 14, we have Jesus coming on the scene, and it's a simile. It's the same as and so. As a matter of fact, it's even better because there's a better result. In verse 15, it says, look, they not only are going to have life if we look to Christ, we're going to have eternal life. Jesus speaks and he invites similarly in John 12 and in verse 32 in John 12. He talks about, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. The idea is that, you know what? I'm going to be lifted up on the cross. People are going to look and they're going to live. And so this morning, our very, very first application is this. Whatever stage of life we may find ourselves in. And I look out here and I see people at all different stages of life. Just like Luther had all different stages in his life. And there was that time when he needed a mentor to come alongside of him. And as he's struggling with his doubts and he's not sure he can really trust, he is exhorted to look to Jesus, to look to Christ. Later on in his life, his conversion experience is long in the rearview mirror, and now he's got these other enemies in his life. He's heading into this ecclesiastical court, but the same message is true. The mentor comes alongside of him and says, look to Christ. And so for ourselves, whether we're at that initial stage, look to Christ. Behold my servant. Or maybe we're at a point where, we got some miles behind us in the Christian life. Maybe we need that preserving faith for the particular trial and affliction that's upon us. Wherever we are along this journey, we need to look and live. We need to look to Christ. We need to heed God's charge that says, behold, my servant. We got three lectionary readings here. I'm not even going to do justice to one of them here in Isaiah 42. It's such a beautiful passage here. I look at a verse, like verse 3, a bruised reed he shall not break, the smoking flax he shall not quench. What a beautiful passage. A reed, something along a pond there that is very, very weak and just a little tender spot there, the Achilles heel of it, the weakest spot of it. Jesus is so gentle that even if that reed is bruised there, it's not going to break. And if you got a candle that's just about out, it's just even smoldering there, he's not going to completely quench it out. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful passage here. But I want us to go back to verse 1 because there's even more just in verse 1 than this opening clause that we've looked at. What we have here, even in the Old Testament, is another one of the several references and inferences to the Trinity. There are a few people who doubt that the New Testament tells us, okay, it's pretty clear, you read the New Testament, you have God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We understand the Trinity from the New Testament. But is it really there in the Old Testament? Well, if we look at this opening verse here, 42 verse 1, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom I soul delight. Then we come to this middle clause in this first opening verse here, 42:1. It says, I have put my spirit upon him. Think about the pronouns there. There are three separate personages being addressed. I have put my spirit upon him. If we'll look carefully, even in the Old Testament, we'll see this three-personed God, this Trinity, this wonderful God that sounds a bit like the one that we read about in Isaiah 48, just a couple of chapters later on in verse 16. Come ye near unto me, hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was. There I am, and now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. This three-person God is all over even the Old Testament. Our world, I remind us of this because in our culture, people just love to talk about God. God this, God that. They almost never talk about Jesus. They talk about God this, God that. And of course, being spiritual remains all the rage today. But the true faith remains that which concerns the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If we look at this opening verse here in 42 and verse 1, we find even more. We see that his glory goes out. His glory goes out, listen to this, His glory goes out to the Yahweh. The Yahweh being the Hebrew word for Gentiles or nation. Some of your translations say the Hebrew. Here in this very first verse we have, look to Christ, we have the Trinity, and now we see this idea of His message going forth to every nation, every tribe, every people, every kindred, every tongue. The Yahweh, the Gentiles, the heathen, the nations, however your translations may say it. He wants everybody to see it. He wants everyone to not just pay attention, but to pay attention, behold my servant. Check out how verse 6 depicts this light that goes out to the Yahweh. The Lord thy God have called thee in righteousness. I, the Lord, that's Jehovah there, all caps. Hold your hand, I will keep you, speaking about God keeping His promises to His Son. I will give you, you will become the covenant of the people, and you will be the light to the Yahweh. Every people, every tribe, every tongue. As I mentioned, Christmas falling on a Sunday this year has really done a number on the lectionary. Really compressed even a Christian calendar. Our lectionary readings comprises and it brings Epiphany together with this baptism of Jesus. Epiphany was Friday, by the way, January 6th. There's 12 days of Christmas. And, you know, most of Christendom celebrated Christmas on Thursday. It was the 12th day of Christmas, January 5th. And you know, I just love our liturgy where we have that opening prayer where we are praying for our brothers and sisters around the world, wherever they may be. And Friday was Epiphany. The celebration of the Magi coming, the three kings coming, recognizing that the gospel was not just for, it's not done in a corner, and it's not just for the people of the Jews, the people of Israel. But those Magi were kings from other nations. And that means that Jesus is now manifest. That's what Epiphany means. Revealed, made known, His glory shown to the Yahweh. The nations. And so Epiphany is about this same idea of light and looking. And then the baptism of Jesus in Matthew 3 and verse 17. Jesus' baptism focuses on the voice from heaven. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Again, God is the mentor whispering this in our ear. Look to Christ. And so today, to behold my servant is about a look and a listen. We don't see Jesus in the flesh anymore. But we see Him through the eye of faith. We see Him with our ear. Epiphany and the baptism of Jesus is about a look and a listen. It's about a sight and it's about a sound. Through sight and sound, Jesus shows Himself openly. And He always has. We could look at, we're going to end up singing in a couple of moments here, Psalm number 98. And if we look at verse 2 in this great, great psalm, it says, "Jehovah has made known His salvation, His righteousness has He openly shown in the sight of the Yahweh." Today our look is with the eye of faith. And how do we obtain an eye of faith whereby we are able to behold that servant? It comes from listening. It comes from hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. And so today we are reminded, as we are every day, that, you know what, we need to be people of the book, and we need to hear the word of God and memorize it so we can meditate upon it so it's always with us. The psalm in the lectionary for today is Psalm number 29. I want us to look at just a couple of verses here. We could look at a whole bunch of it. But look at this emphasis about the voice. God wants us to hear from Him. He wants to be our mentor. He wants us to look to Christ, and we look with spiritual eyes through faith as the voice of God goes out. And Psalm 29 talks about the voice of God. The voice of Jehovah is upon the waters. The glory of God thunders. The Lord is upon many waters. That's the Gentiles, the sea. Israel is always depicted as the land. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord, or Jehovah, is full of majesty. Psalm 29 has 7 references to the voice of the Lord. 7 of them to the voice of Jehovah. All of this means that we, of course, are to, by faith, behold my servant, God speaking. But it also means that we are to join in with the proclamation of Christ as servant and Savior. See, we are like Luther. We need to hear it. We need to have a mentor at every stage of life that says, look to Christ. We, like Luther, need to hear it. And we, like his mentor, need to speak it. To take a look over at Ephesians in chapter 6, this was Paul's prayer. As for me, this is his prayer. You know, this is right after he talks about all of the armor of God that he needs, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, all that armor that he's supposed to put on as the high priest and as a soldier for Christ. He closes out that passage and he says this: as for me, that utterance, that's an ability to speak, having something to say, that it might be given to me, that I may open my mouth and do so boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador, right? God has now placed us in the sense that we are supposed to be representing him to the Galway, to all the people in the world. I'm an ambassador in bonds. He was in prison. That therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We today thank God for a guy like Luther. This whole year, we're going to be celebrating what Luther did. But you know what? I wonder if we ever give pause to thank God for the folks who were the mentors of Luther. As Luther was struggling with his own salvation, said, look to Christ. And as Luther was not sure of himself and needed confidence and needed peace and needed boldness as he stood in that ecclesiastical court before his tormentors and his enemies, that someone would say, look to Christ. We're all Luthers, but we ought to be mentors as well. We're going to close here today with a part of our epistle text from Acts chapter 10 and verse 40. God raised up, speaking of Christ, the third day, and here's this idea of epiphany again. Openly shown, right? We could look at the next verse and we could say, wait a minute. Verse 41 says, wait a minute, he really didn't show it to everybody. Uh-oh. Maybe I should just take this sermon and kind of tear it up. I don't think so. Openly shown, not to all people, but unto chosen ones. And then we come to verse 42 and it says this. And he commanded us, his chosen ones. He has commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that he is that which is ordained or God, the judge of the living and the judge of the dead. As these celebrations of Epiphany and the baptism of Christ are upon us today, let us be like Luther, who need to know him and need to look to him. And let us be like the mentor who whispers and proclaims, make him known. Epiphany is ours to have, and it is ours to do by the opening of our mouths. I don't know too much about new electronics. I've heard some stories. I've also heard some silly stories about these little digital devices that you can kind of talk to, right? And sometimes they talk back to you and they give you information, or they execute commands for you. I heard about this one device. It's called an Echo. Let us be those who hear. Behold my servant. Let us be those who hear, and let us be God's echo for the nations. Let us hear and let us be God's echo. Behold my servant. Look to Christ. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, there are a variety of reasons why each and every single one of us need to look to Christ today. For some of us, it is because we're lost and we haven't even taken an initial step of faith and putting our trust in you. For others of us here, perhaps for most of us here, it's because we're at a juncture, we're at a crossroads, we have new challenges. We need confidence, we need peace, we need boldness. Maybe it's a change of lifestyle, maybe it's a change of job, maybe it's being well stricken in years. We too need to hear, look to Christ for a persevering faith. And then, Father, there is the whole wide world that needs us to be echoes, needs us to be mentors, to be those who whisper into the ears of others and shouts into the hearing of others, for them to look to Christ. Father, in all these ways and more, you have made yourself known. You've openly shown yourself. We rejoice in this today as we review Epiphany. We rejoice in this today as we review the baptism of our Lord Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.